Ken Page is known by audiences for his performances everywhere from Broadway to the Muni and for his one-man autobiographical stage show, Page by Page. He's written and is directing the premiere of Sublime Intimacy, which Max and Louis Productions is presenting at the Kranzberg Arts Center. He's here with us along with Henry Palkas, who has composed the music, and we welcome you both.
Good morning. Good to be here. Or afternoon or evening.
Somewhere in between. Depends how you look at it, Ken.
There you go.
Ken, let's begin this way. What is it that everyone wants?
Sublime intimacy, of course. Yes. Yeah. I came at that, you know, actually it came out of a conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about relationships and how they evolve sometimes past the level that they're qualified under most definitions, if that makes sense, even in marriages, even outside of marriages. And he said to me, he says, well, I think there's a level that some relationships reach that's probably extremely intimate. He said it's like a sublime intimacy, and that's how I got the title.
You're not just talking about are you romantic relationship?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, that's the majority, obviously. It's probably the first things we come up. But I think most of my sublime intimacy relationships have been with friends, truthfully, or people that were romantic involvements that became friends rather than the other way around.
Henry, do you have any insight into that that you want to share with us?
I have had relationships that either were silent, just went unspoken, but people that I would see, people that I would run into by virtue of where our lives were, that I would see daily or something. And the same way that you might see somebody at the elevator at your apartment building in New York City, you see them every day. And there's been times when I have looked forward to seeing or knowing more about that person. And there's been times when I've acted on it, but there's been times when I just sort of let my imagination go with what that person, what might be if I ever said hello. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are more intriguing, actually, than the real ones.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what the play explores on some levels are intimate relationships that haven't necessarily been fulfilled, but they've definitely been nurtured.
So are you writing about people that you know, Ken?
To some degree, I'm writing about people that I've heard about, people that I know. Some of the characters are based on actual people, though they're all fictionalized in the play, including myself. But definitely relationship stories that I've heard from other friends and the longings and the things that people, as Henry has said, that people have nurtured through their lives. There's a point in the play where one of the characters says, it's like that captain of the football team that you fell in love with. Or that boy whose green eyes you still see when you close yours. You know the one. It's that thing. That's what it's based in.
Well, Henry, you've composed some music that's being used in this, but this is not a musical.
No. It has more aspects of a play with dance, actually, because the dance sequences are the words put into movement, and that's essentially what dance is. And a lot of what I do professionally is playing for dancers, strangely enough. But interpreting movement into sound is it's the way that the two mediums, the two arts communicate with one another. And so adding the third layer of drama on top of it is a big thrill for me.
So it is a play. So, Ken, why did you decide to add the elements of music and dance?
With all respect to Henry, the dance came first because we're talking about dancers. Most of the relationships in the play are with dancers. That's part of the plotting of it, if you will. And for them to dance, they had to have music. So rather than just use pre-written music, I thought it would be great because Henry's so terrific and I knew his relationship with the dance world was real, that if we could have music that was written out of the narrative flow of the story, it would service the piece so much better.
We're talking with Ken Page and Henry Palkas about Sublime Intimacy, which is going to open at the Kranzberg in a week. So the play is about five friends.
Yes.
They all have something in common. They're all very different, but they have something in common.
Their love of dance and dancers, or their relationships they've had, as Henry said, whether they were fulfilled or not. But each one of the characters has had some connection to a dancer in their life that's changed.
So not the same dancer?
No. No, each dancer is different. And in our play, we have a wonderful dancer in from New York, Alfredo Sullivan, who is playing each of the dancers that in each person's story.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So is it like the five friends are together in one evening, or is it each story back to back, or how is it set up?
Well, there is a point where the five friends are together in one evening, but that's not the focal point. It's each story. There's a narrator, if you will, that runs throughout. I don't want to give – there's one little plot twist that I don't want to throw away too much, but – he's someone who knows all the people and has put the idea of it together and presenting it to us in the form of the evening we experience.
So who are these five friends?
One is a professor, a drama professor from a university, not unlike St. Louis. They're actually based on some people that I knew here to a degree. One's a philosophy professor. One's a visual artist, a painter. One is a drama teacher who's also an actress, and later on in the story she goes to New York and pursues that, the dancer. And one is a Broadway performer, actor person.
Hmm. Would that be reflective of perhaps the playwright?
It would indeed. It would indeed.
All the other names have been changed to protect the innocent.
To protect the innocent and to, yeah, protect the innocent.
So each one of these five characters talks about some dancer in their life and influenced them or affected their life in some way.
Right.
And so how does the music work into that, Henry? How and when and where?
Well, on the occasions where the individual stories are being told, the music sort of tracks what that individual story is, and so the music changes stylistically considerably across the board of the different dance sequences. Some of it is very sort of 30s, 40s, MGM, Hollywood, big sound orchestra. Some of it is very extremely simple, subdued, almost Baroque music. Some of it is very driven with a more of a jazz orientation. So you sort of tailor – well, I tailored the music to reflect who the actual dancer was and what who the person was, the character telling the story, what their influence was.
So is there a different piece of music for each five characters?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And they are actually very cleverly woven together by a musical theme which just lent itself to very different treatments of the same theme. So that sort of curls throughout the story, much as does the narrator. I would say that the Baroque piece is probably the most dissimilar, but it is extremely similar in terms of the way that the choreographer, David Marchant, interpreted the music.
And I'm going to interrupt it just to say Cam Saunders as well.
And Cam Saunders.
Yeah, we have two choreographers.
Right, and I was able to have the good fortune of speaking with them as the music was being composed so that they could say, I need this, or I need less of this, that kind of thing. So it was... I had a lot of information just from the text from Ken and also from the way that the two choreographers expressed themselves in words to me. So
and it was so much fun. We would sit, Henry and I would read whatever I had written, which has changed tremendously mm-hmm. throughout the course, basically the same, but some of the internals have changed. But we would sit and I would read and he would play and say, well, what are this? And he'd say, well, what about this? And we'd play. So what I've loved about the process from all ends that Henry mentioned, from the dance, the choreography, the music, and the text, if you will, is that it has been a completely creative evolution on every level. You know, we really have worked together to make it all tell the best story of each story, if you will. And that, to me, in my experience as a director, writer, or an actor, is the joy of it, getting to work with other creative people and bring one thing into focus in the end.
You said something earlier, Ken. I'm not sure if I understood mm-hmm. you correctly. Did you say that the idea for this play began with the music?
No.
Okay.
No, the idea actually began with a painting that I bought at Rothschild's Antiques.
What's the story there?
I'll make it a short story. Basically, there was a painting there of a dancer that I saw that I really wanted to buy, and I pondered it back and forth. And when I did buy it, it turned out that the painter was someone whose name was very familiar to me. And it turned out that that actual painter was someone who had been a teacher at the university that I attended. And my professor, whom I asked, is this name familiar to you, began to tell me a small story about the painter and the subject of the painting. And it was a dancer from Washington University and so on and so on. So that's what really inspired me from the very, very, very beginning. And they also had two paintings of the same series in their home collection. And this was 20 years away from when they were done.
How much has dance been a part of your career, Ken? I mean, I know you've been in Broadway musicals and so forth. Were you ever actually a dancer, per se?
Per se, no, because, I just never studied dance seriously that way. But I've danced in everything short of Cats that I've done. I've had actually danced a lot. I think it was always a surprise to people because they didn't think because of my size that I could dance. Big surprise. Big surprise. But aside from that, dance, which is one of the other reasons for the piece, is dance and dancers have always been a very, very integral part of my life. Most of my closer friends are dancers, and most of my relationships have been with dancers as friends and romantic, whatever. But dance has always been a running factor through my life. Even when I started out at the Muni, she's still alive, I shouldn't say God bless, but Sharon Halley, who was the assistant choreographer back in those days, I babysat their kids and so forth. So I always heard stories of New York dancers and all the people who I later was lucky enough to meet.
So, Henry, you said you've worked with dancers before a lot in your career, so this came natural to you working on this. Were there any surprises or challenges for you or anything new for you in this?
It's always new. This composition is something that, and particularly working with Ken, I mean, literally, when we first started working on this, he just sat in my living room and just started reading the script and sort of looked at me with that, why aren't you playing something? And I play for a lot of the ballet classes at Washington University right now. And accompanying ballet classes, if you start with the premise that everything that I'm going to play is going to be made up on the spot, to really interpret what the ballet mistress is teaching, whatever the step is, and I'll look at that and see it, and just something comes out. Because if you were to say, could you play me the third act of Giselle, I would just say no. But
what he's not saying is how talented he is, and not everyone can do that. I mean, I've been in the company of people who've been given the same play something, so to speak, and they don't do it well. I think there's a particular talent to being able to interpret feeling into the actual, which is what Henry does so well.
So Sublime Intimacy tells a story of five friends who each had a dancer that affected their life in some way. I know you don't want to give away too much. Can you give us an example maybe of a character or two and what the dancer in their life meant to them, just to kind of show the variety?
Sure. I will say one of the main characters in the piece is a woman called Catherine Riley. And at 10 years old, she met a young man in ballet class. They grew up together in Kansas City, and they went through all the years of taking dance classes together. And he was then accepted into the company at American Ballet Theater. And they continued their friendship, if you will, through the years. Of course, she was in love with him, and he was in love with dance, more or less, so to speak. And through the years, all the way up until they're in New York together some years later, and he finally says to her that you've got to let this go and you've got to find someone in your life that can give you the things you want. I have someone else that I'm now involved with. And that's sort of the arc of her story, but that's not untypical of a lot of people. Even if it isn't dance, let's just say, I think a lot of people have those relationships or have had them. I was saying to a friend of mine that oftentimes the people, and this was a married friend who's been married for like 30 years, often the people that one ends up marrying and spending their life with is not the person that they were ignited by in their youth as far as love and sublime intimacy. What it says in one of the other relationships in the play, I wanted to show how even though you may end up with somebody, it doesn't mean you won't have those feelings about somebody else. But it also doesn't mean that you have to choose that. Being with somebody is also a sublime intimacy, someone who stays and, as we say, simply dances you into the still of the night.
You opening a can of worms here, Ken?
I hope so. I really do. I hope so. I hope people will go home and say, do I have sublime intimacy in my life? And if I don't, can I still get some? And if I did have it, I want them to know it's okay to remember it. You don't have to bury it.
Max and Louis Productions presents Ken Page's Sublime Intimacy. It's going to open a week from tonight and run through December the 20th at the Kranzberg Arts Center here in Grand Center. If you'd like more information, go to our website, stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. We've been talking to pianist and composer Henry Palkus, and with Ken Page, who has written Sublime Intimacy and is directing it. And one final question. So does it all come together at the end, Ken, and a happy ending, and everybody works out their relationships, and it's a good thing?
Well, I won't say it comes to happy endings, and that's something interesting that's said in the piece. Happy endings, I think, is relative to anyone. What is your happy ending? But I think in our piece, it comes to realities, and it comes to understanding what one might have gained by exploring those realities. Whether that's a happy ending or not, I'll leave that open to the people who are going to come and see it. But it definitely is resolved in the end because we realize, as I said, our main character is telling us the stories of these five friends that he's known, and that's how their lives ended and went on or whatever.
Ken Page, Henry Polkus, Sublime Intimacy. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.